You're listening to Aggie Radio, KBLULP 92.3, Logan, Utah. And we are the Aggie Morning Word Podcast.
Woot woot.
So I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
I'm Joe Steven.
We are your morning news the modern way. So today our weather is a little bit
It's a rainy one. It rained a lot last night. I know that because unless there were some pranksters, since I was staying south of the railroad tracks. If any of you live, you know, south and west, rather, west of the railroad tracks, this is not a slight. But if there were some pranksters where I was at, my car was completely covered in moisture, and pretty much none of the other cars were. Mm. So I don't know why. But driving this morning was rather difficult. Well, I know why. It's because I couldn't see a darn thing out of my windows that don't happen to have windshield wipers on them, and I was too lazy to wipe them, so.
Yeah. So the forecast is 35 to 62 and cloudy. The air quality is good.
Ish,
yeah.
Good is a loose term in Cache Valley.
And the word of the day is abscission. Mm. Cutting, or the process of leaves falling off. Hmm.
Like. Interesting.
So, yeah. There's 7 more days to register to vote, by the way, if you haven't already.
Especially since Cache County, if you're not aware, is removing all of the polling places.
Yes.
There will be no physical locations except for in the Cache County Clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
There will be, like, a couple voting booths. So if you really want to get your vote in, register to vote as soon as possible, because the Cache County Clerk will be sending a mail-in ballot to your registered address, which you can then fill it out. But which is some of my more liberal friends, Jeff, if you're listening in, thanks for listening in. If not, you know, we'll see you next time. But some would claim that removing polling places is almost a form of voter suppression. The reason being is more people are less likely to go out and vote.
Well, because it's especially it'll be a hassle. Difficult. Yeah, it's especially difficult for college students who have big shared mailboxes and move around a lot. Like, even if you're like me and you applied for the same place, you may have been moved downstairs, which I was originally. And so it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, if I was registered in the summer and in the fall to vote, updated, I would have to update it to the newest one, and really I don't think that we've gotten a fair chance. I think overall this really hurts college students.
Well, and I think that's kind of the point, the long-standing, because this is a really key election, not only in the presidential race but also congressionally. So there are a lot of, you know, Rob Bishop and you know, Kurt Webb, some long-standing political chieftains in the area that some would like to see some new faces representing them, especially here on Utah State campus and in the first district and everything. So yeah, it'll be an interesting time. If you haven't registered yet,
register.
You know, maybe you should.
And it's Pablo Picasso's birthday.
Hey. Oh,
hey, sorry, just a quick note back on the voting thing. If you don't register to vote because you're like, oh, I don't know who to vote for, don't worry, just give me a call, I'll tell you. I kid.
No, you can always write in your dad, you know.
Yeah.
There is a write-in option.
I want...
If your dad's an upstanding citizen and he's over 35 and he was born in the U.S., as Trump would make a big deal out of, write in your dad.
I want someone to vote for Jensen for president.
There you go.
I'm assuming that's like a pretty common last name here. And our weird holiday for today, wash yesterday's bologna taste out of your mouth. It's National Pasta Day.
Oh, you know what I'm having today?
Well, I have pasta probably a like burger. Every day.
Maybe mac and cheese, you know. That's a type of pasta.
The cup macaroni and cheese you microwave actually isn't that bad.
Oh, they're really good.
They're really good.
The Easy Mac is what it's called.
There we go.
I almost didn't trust it because mac and cheese is already easy.
Yeah.
So how much easier could mac and cheese get?
Exactly.
And it was really easy, you know. Mm-hmm. The first time, actually, I think it boiled over in my microwave, but...
That's kind of gross,
guys. I learned.
Yeah. I don't think I'd do that. Let's jump into international news.
A death poll, or the death toll in Pakistan Police Academy attack rises. Militants storm a police training center in resistive Baluchistan province, opening fire, detonating explosive vests, and killing 59 police officers, authorities say.
Jeez. Threatened in Mosul, the Islamic State uses alternative tactics. Excuse me. Last week's assault on Kirkuk offers a glimpse at the kind of asymmetrical and bloody response the Islamic State group might mount as Iraqi forces converge on its last major urban bastion in the country.
And a deadly accident at an Australian amusement park. Two men and two women were killed while on River Rapids ride at Dreamworld, a popular theme park in Queensland, State Gold Coast, police say. So.
Dreamworld.
Yeah. It's an interesting, you know, it's better than like everything here, which is like
it's Disney better themed. Than Rickety Roller Coaster Land or like
Lagoon?
Long lines that will give you headaches land.
Disneyland?
Yeah, Lagoon, basically. Talon. Oh. Good luck getting on Wicked. It's always broken.
Oh, yeah. Oh, or that the old wooden one that
oh, yeah, the
was
wooden
not
coaster.
Built for the modern American physique.
More than half of the fun of that ride is feeling like you're going to die because it's just shaking the entire time.
Yeah.
More than half.
Terrifying. So let's jump into political news.
America, far from united. The Associated Press surveyed the country over the past half year and found a country caught up in a toxic presidential campaign that magnified its disagreements and left it longing for harmony.
Voter poll problems do not equate to fraud. A fact check finds Trump's claims of flaws in voter data accurately reflect numbers contained in a four-year-old report, but do not equate to proof of widespread fraud or election rigging.
And Trump brand loses luster with affluent. After tumultuous run up to the election, there's evidence that the billionaire businessman's brand has been tarnished.
Oh no, I can't, you know, eat my Trump steaks in my Trump ties anymore.
While going to Trump U.
No lie. Oh yeah, Trump U. I own a Trump tie. It is a bright gold tie. Of all the colors Trump would choose, it is gold. Because I was given it at a wedding to wear as a groomsman, but...
The only reason I own a Trump tie was a garage sale, and my mom got it for me, and it's a very uncomfortable tie.
Really? Trump mine is like ties? Silk. It's a really... I mean, it frays, but that's, you know, that's silk
that's
anyways.
That's silk, yeah.
But, no, it's, yeah, Trump ties. Donald J. Trump ties.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're nice. Yeah, that goldish one, it's similar to that, but it's like a straight gold, just a solid gold color. Anyways, enough of Donald Trump's ties. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Trump,
of course.
We know that he's on Twitter, what Obama said about Trump's tweets. So on Jimmy Kimmel Live, the president countered the Republicans' claim that he will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States by saying, at least I will go down as a president.
Whoa.
President Obama, you always have
throwing
great
shade.
One-liners.
At least I will go down as a president.
Now, right, when we have people like Richard Nixon and...
I am not a crook.
James K. Polk and... Let's see, which... Well,
Hoover.
Hoover? Yeah, Hoover was bad. Who do you think is the worst?
I mean, there were a bunch that were assassinated.
Hey, not all those guys are bad.
That's true. It was bad what happened to them.
Yes,
some
it
of
was.
Them. Donald Trump is launching a nightly live campaign broadcast on Facebook, which is interesting.
Tune in for your nightly brainwashing.
As part of his narrative that the election is rigged against him, Donald Trump has not said whether he'll concede if he loses to Hillary Clinton. However, it won't matter much if he does or doesn't.
Some Republican candidates are threatening to sue television stations if they run campaign ads linking them to Donald Trump.
America, we are witnessing bridges being burned, like, like all over the place. It's amazing. GOP VP nominee. Well, that's fun to say. GOP VP nominee. Grand old party vice president nominee Mike Pence is set to make a campaign stop in Utah on Wednesday. So if you want to applaud, laud, or riot, Wednesday's your day.
And most of the ballots in Morgan County are erroneous, asking voters to cast ballots in a Senate district they do not live in.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm. That's always good.
And our one national news story.
One national news.
Just one today. Dangerous airbags are still not repaired. Owners of more than 300,000 Hondas have yet to get their airbags fixed, despite warnings from the automaker and regulators.
I own a Honda. Do my airbags not work?
Potentially.
Who knows?
That's horrifying.
Yeah, you it's should look at that.
My Honda's a 93 Honda.
It's probably
it is
not
old.
That old.
I think you're okay. I know my friend back home, they bought a new Honda, and it got recalled, I believe, for airbags, but they got it fixed back in June.
Yeah, but those are new cars.
Yeah.
This is an old one that hasn't had its airbags deployed.
Yours is probably fine.
That's horrifying. Yeah. I mean, at this point in my life, death would be a release, so.
So the Davis County GOP could oust a party officer for supporting independent candidate Evan McMullen over GOP nominee Donald Trump.
Wow. This is local and Utah State news. Mia Love has a 13-point lead over Democrat Doug Owens.
Governor Gary Herbert appears headed for an easy victory over Democrat Mike Weinholz in November.
Grr. Utah Democrats are outperforming Republicans in returning their mail-in ballots so far, but GOP officials aren't worried.
And premiums for some popular plans sold through the Affordable Care Act are set to jump by 25% next year.
We don't have much in university news. It's kind of a slow week this week. However, if you do have your mail-in ballots, it does require like postage stamps, like first-class postage stamps. But instead, there are ballot boxes that you can drop your mail-in ballots in, and there is one here in the TSC on campus. So if you have a mail-in ballot and you're struggling with money like I am and can't afford a postage stamp...
For $1.50.
I don't... Yep. Yeah, drop it off in a mail-in ballot here on campus.
That's what, six packets of ramen?
Oh,
no
yeah,
way.
Easy.
No way it's worth it.
Well, and there are actually ballot boxes all around the city. You can look them up on them, like the Cache County's website. But yeah, mail-in ballots are a thing.
And today is the Fall Career Fair in the Career Services. Like they're usually in the, what is it called? The International Lounge or whatever?
In the ballroom.
The ballroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's lighting the fire. Ceramics education in the American West. So, yeah.
Oh,
and that's at
also,
the Nora Eccles Harrison Museum of Art.
Also on campus in the music department, the Utah State like musical is Next to Normal, and it is showing right now. I believe it opened. I think it was last night. I might be wrong, but it's this week. I believe that they're opening up, and there's also some student recitals and things for voice majors, but none of that really applies.
And now for sports.
Yeah. Really fast, though, there are two more things happening this weekend here at the university. On Friday, it's a home football game against San Diego State University. Mm. And on Saturday is the Howl. So if you don't have your tickets, go get your tickets, get your costumes, and go to the Howl.
Or don't go to the Howl because they're having an a cappella group perform.
Ooh. A cappella is really good.
A cappella groups are riveting, of course. You know,
they came into the library, and that was rude. Because you
that is rude.
You shouldn't be.
Did they
singing.
Perform in the library?
Yeah.
What a bunch of dummies.
Well, I don't think it's their fault.
It's
I think
respectful.
It's not their fault for singing in the library.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't their idea. They're probably put up to it, or maybe it was one of their ideas. I don't know.
That's like, here's the worst thing. Like, when you're on an airplane, okay, with a delay, and it's like going to be an hour and a half, okay, you're sitting there on the runway with nothing to do. The least, and this is just me personally, the last thing I want to hear on that airplane is some cast of some random show break into a flash mob of one of their biggest ensemble numbers. I see videos of this happening with, like, the cast of Lion King or, like, an old, like, barbershop quartet. And if I were sitting on that airplane, I would just yell, like, you know, expletives and just shut up. You know, like, I don't want to hear that. Like, everyone else can hear that. That's fine. Get off the airplane. You know, we'll see you later. But for me, if I'm sitting there for 2 hours, I just want to be left alone.
So Peter's saying that he doesn't like musical theater.
Oh, I love musical theater.
You like being in it.
But one, it's a time and place. Two, just not.
You're there by
not
choice.
On an airplane. No.
Airplanes, I don't think anyone's there by choice.
I paid good money to fly in the air, and I'm now paying good money to sit on a runway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just being ornery this morning. It's not really a big deal.
Drink your coffee.
No, I'm not going to the Howl this year. I'm actually playing a free house show.
Oh.
With my band. Well, it's not my band. Joshua Sales' band, and some other local favorites like Josh Claflin and Taylor Ross Wilson.
See, and I might be there, but I'm definitely not going to be at the Howl.
I perhaps might be there. If I get my Cafe Ibis fix in the morning, which leads us to say that this episode is powered by Cafe Ibis. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. Just kidding. We love doing the show.
Yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night with a panic attack, stayed up all night, and there's no way I would be awake right now if it weren't for the magic of coffee.
The magic of coffee. The magic.
It's like. Right.
I woke up in the middle of the night in a panic attack, thinking that it was Monday morning and that I wouldn't get my Cafe Ibis, but instead it was Tuesday, and joy was had.
So, now
with that, we'll leave it to Joe for a special sports segment.
Okay. Football season is in full swing, and Tom Brady is continuing to have his presence felt as the Patriots win against Pittsburgh on Sunday, 27-16. The Oakland Raiders are now 5-2 with another big win over the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, and this is their best start in quite a long time to their season, and they are number one in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos, they break their losing streak this week with a home win against the Houston Texans last night on Monday Night Football, and against Brock Osweiler, who was the backup quarterback to Peyton Manning, before Peyton Manning retired last season after coming off of the Super Bowl 50 win in Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara.
Neato.
Yep. The Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks had an intense battle in the desert with it ending in a 6-6 tie after double overtime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Oh, my goodness. That game went on forever. Forever.
I believe it.
Arian Foster has announced his retirement on Monday. The former Texans running back and now the Miami Dolphins running back, he'd been battling hamstring injuries for the past year, decided that this year was enough. He said that I'm walking away with peace and that it was his decision, so no one forced him to retire.
The Dolphins. I grew up in Miami, so I have lots of loyalty for the Dolphins, even though over the past decade, they've been terrible.
I understand your pain. My hometown team, and the team I've been following since I was born, the San Francisco 49ers, lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday.
The Niners. Oh, man.
Yeah.
At least it's not the Raiders. Just kidding. I'm not a sports. I used to follow a lot of sports when I was younger. I was involved in football, baseball, soccer, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then sports became very elitist, and I was getting made fun of, and I just didn't want that. And I found theater. And I also found Jesus. But then, you know. We're not friends. But no, I think sports are important because they are a huge money-making industry here in the U.S. And
they're also the only little remaining shred of culture the United States has left.
Yeah, I mean, what's more American than, like,
watching
baseball?
The Super Bowl and eating Little Smokies?
Well, and some of my favorite memories that I have with my father have been watching football games just together, or basketball, talking sports, even though neither of us really know anything about them.
Just watching it.
Just
it's
watching
fun.
It, yeah.
Eating food, being together with people. That's what my friends would make an excuse for when the Warriors were playing the finals last year. We would just say, hey, Warriors are playing. We're going to go to a restaurant. We're going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
And well, so and that one, was of my, one of my favorite memories as well as growing up was playing my first Turkey Bowl in Pennsylvania. I don't know if Utah really does Turkey Bowls. Have you ever heard of a Turkey Bowl?
Oh, yeah. I did them all the time.
Well, so in the East Coast, you know, hockey and football are, like, the biggest sports out there. And every year, right, like, Thanksgiving morning, the men or just, like, youth activities, they would have Turkey Bowls where they'd play touch or tackle football. In our case, it was, like, flag or touch football. But I just remember playing with bunch of guys that were in our, you know, local church group and just had a fun time rolling around in the mud and playing some, throwing the pigskin around, you know, on the gridiron.
So you mentioned hockey and suddenly I was interested and then you stopped talking about hockey and then I went
to I love hockey.
World. Oh, yeah,
I love hockey. My favorite team is the Flyers for all of you listeners out there who enjoy hockey. Actually, Utah State hockey is also really cool. They play at the Eccles Ice Rink in town, and against like the University of Utah's team and BYU's team, and I think Weber's team, and they're great players. It gets brutal, like
it's hockey.
The slam against the boards are just they're crazy. Oh,
but yeah. Here's the thing with like the USU hockey team, right? They're not paid like the college football team.
No, they're like a club team.
Yeah.
So it's it's Utah State, like, university hockey, but it's not, like, a sport recognized.
It's not like basketball where they get like, scholarships and paid to actually come here.
Which is funny. There was a story in The Statesman about Utah State basketball that, like, support for it is kind of waning a little bit. That there, like, used to be a huge crowd that would... Mm-hmm. Well, and Utah State used to have, like, the biggest home court advantage in the U.S. for basketball, for college basketball. That, I'm not sure at this time. I'm not making any claims, but I'm not sure if that's still the case. Mm-hmm. But it still might be. I'm not sure.
I think after... ever since Space Jam, no one's really cared. That was kind of...
Who could ever care after Space Jam?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like... That was the end of the magical era of basketball.
When the Toon Squad rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan and Bill Murray led the... Who is that? Dan Aykroyd? led the team to victory.
Yeah. So we're going to cut to a musical break here. And when we come back, we'll do some science, some quirky news, all the good stuff.
Speaking of Space Jam, I think they want to make a sequel with LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah.
I hope that never comes to fruition.
Me too. I hope that...
Although LeBron James was hilarious in Trainwreck. Did you ever see Trainwreck?
No.
He was the best part of that movie.
Okay.
He was. He was
good.
Was
the movie a Trainwreck?
Oh, it was.
Okay. So, some food for thought real fast.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the real sports question that everyone's asking this year.
Mm.
Will the Cubs break their 108-year losing streak?
Or what about the Indians? The Indians are doing really well, too.
The Indians are doing good as well. So, if the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs...
Oh, man. That would be...
That would be
the grudge match of the century.
Yeah. So here is False Currency by Sigo.
See you soon.
All right. Welcome back to KBLULP 92.3 in Logan, Utah. We are the Aggie Morning Word Podcast. I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
I'm Joe Stephen.
All right. So we're going to jump into science news. But before we do that, we have a science liner.
Oh.
It's one small step for man.
Science is a system of statements based on direct experience.
Yes, science!
And controlled by experimental verification.
through science, we can tackle some of the biggest challenges that we face.
Or as we say, science is real.
All right. So what science news do we have today?
Well, I think the first one you're going to be covering about... Yeah.
So how autism in girls may help reveal disorder secrets. So AP finds that many girls with autism have social skills that can mask the condition, and some girls do not show symptoms even when they have the same genetic mutations in boys.
Huh.
And reading further in the story, I found that women need twice as many genetic mutations to have noticeable.
Wow.
So.
Interesting.
Of course, my own personal theory behind this is that it has to do with like how socialization occurs, right? Like women are more pressured.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a story in science about dark matter. If you're not aware what dark matter is, dark matter used to be what was thought to make up 80 to 85% of the universe. So all the light stuff, when you look in the night sky, the light is either planets or, you know, comets or like asteroids or stars, you know, or other parts of the galaxy. But all the dark spaces in between was originally thought to be dark matter, which basically how scientists detected in the past was through its gravitational influence, how it would affect stars and things surrounding it. But recently, scientists have lost their latest round of hide-and-seek with dark matter, but they're not out of the game. Despite overwhelming evidence that an exotic form of matter lurks unseen in the cosmos, decades of searches have failed to definitively detect a single particle of dark matter. While some scientists continue down the road of increasingly larger detectors designed to catch the particles, others are beginning to consider a broader landscape of possibilities for what dark matter might be. Quote, "We've been looking where our best guess told us to look for all these years, and we're starting to wonder if maybe we guessed wrong," end quote, says theoretical astrophysicist Dan Hooper of Fermilab in Batavia 3. Quote, "People are just opening their minds to a wider range of options, dark," end quote. Yeah, so essentially dark matter originally was kind of captured as a material that keeps galaxies from flying apart and kind of has left its imprints in some of the oldest parts of the universe, possibly containing waves that had originated from the Big Bang. But recent searches for dark matter have kind of been inconclusive. Scientists haven't been able to get a good grip on what it is, but they're going to continue to search for it.
And there's a new radiation technique that has been developed that allows you to read a book without opening it.
What?
And so this is especially good for really, really old texts that would just, like, disintegrate upon, you know, like these ancient tomes.
Oh, like opening the book would just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they can now just, without moving or disturbing the book, read.
It's radiation. I can see that. They would send the radio waves or other waves into the book, and those waves would bounce back off of the ink, which then could, in analyzing it, they could piece together what would be written. In theory, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Talking a little bit more in our solar system, there are two unseen moons that may circle Uranus. Two more teeny moons might be lurking around Uranus in addition to the 27 we already know about. Fluctuations in the density of two of the planet's dark rings, seen in radio data from the 1986 flyby of the Voyager 2 spacecraft, could be caused by unseen moonlets, astronomers Robert Chancia and Matthew Hedman, both at the University of Idaho in Moscow, Moscow, Idaho, University of Idaho, report online October 9th.
And an AI system learns like a human, stores info like a computer. An artificial neural network hooked up to an extra memory can learn to solve complex problems.
Oh no. So are we on for the singularity to happen when, have you seen that trailer for that movie Morgan? Is that what it's called? Is it Morgan? think it's Morgan, about this AI kind of girl that was created, and she's learning quickly, and then she like becomes like a homicidal maniac or something.
Oh, isn't that...
Breaks out of her compound.
Is that Morgan?
Is that called... What is that movie called? I'm going to look it up. But speaking of this, actually, there's a book I read, which is really, really good, called Robopocalypse. The name is terrible. However, the subject matter is really good. That there's this AI that was created by these scientists, and they're trying to... It is called Morgan? Awesome. Sweet. but this AI was created by scientists, but scientists can't figure out how to not make the AI, like, self-aware and start to download, like, data outside of its confines. So they keep shutting it down to, like, try and rework it to add, like, barriers to its knowledge. But the 14th time that they, like, test the AI, like, somehow releases a neurotoxin into the lab and escapes and then uploads itself into the internet. And then through that, it just learns everything and it gains all this power and it starts creating machines and taking over, like, smart devices and smart phones and smart cars and bringing down airplanes. Like, it's mayhem, like, global mayhem. But the book, if have you guys ever read World War Z?
No. Yeah.
You've read it?
Where it's like journal entries.
Where it's like journal entries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the story is told similar, very similar to that, because at the end of the event, they discover a black box, which is where, like, the AI stored its memories. So they piece together all this information, and then it's a narrative throughout. But it's great. It's great. And Steven Spielberg, I believe, acquired the rights to the book, and he's currently making a movie out of it. Although they've had to hire new screenplay writers and everything. So whether it comes to fruition or not, we'll see. But it's great. It's a great book. It's called Robopocalypse.
All right. Ready for quirky news?
That was kind of quirky.
Yeah, it was. But we're on our way there, right?
Sweet.
So, I have a few here. So, woman accused of smearing peanut butter in bizarre anti-Trump protest. So, she said, quote, "I was just fed up about the entire election."
Oh, what did she do?
So, a woman in Amherst Junction, Wisconsin, has been charged with disorderly conduct after she allegedly spread peanut butter on 30 cars that she believed to belong to Donald Trump supporters.
I'm sorry, that's great. Oh, man. I'm not condoning her actions, but if there's any way to protest, smearing peanut butter on cars is a great way to do it.
So here's the great thing, right? So it turns out the cars actually belong to members of the Tomorrow River Conservation Club.
Oh, no.
Witnesses said the 32-year-old Christina Ferguson stormed into the club meeting on Monday night, holding what a Portage County deputy reported described as a family-sized jar of low-sodium, creamy, natural Jif, according to Stevens Point City Times.
Oh,
so,
man.
Looks like I found a winner on
You
that
can't
one.
Make this up, folks. Oh, that's good. Here's the thing, though. If any of those car owners were, like, allergic to peanut butter, that could have been really bad. Allergic
really
to
bad.
Peanuts. However, it ended up being just a silly, funny debacle, so.
Yeah. So, Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some Halloween quirky news. So, a man attached a flying skeleton to a drone, and people went nuts.
That's horrifying.
It is horrifying. It looks like a,
Dementor?
Yeah, like a Dementor. But yeah, it's essentially like this shadowy visage of death flying through the air.
I saw like a YouTube video or a video on Facebook like similar to this, which probably gave this guy the idea, where another person put a drone, well, it wasn't a drone, it was actually like a remote controlled like plane,
mm-hmm.
or actually it was an RC helicopter, and they put like this ghoulish like costume on it and just like flew it around and would like do really low passes, and it just has a terrifying face. And for people in the world that believe in ghosts, I'm sure this is just a confirmation of their beliefs. They felt the ghostly spirit.
Hey, guess what? This happened in the same area.
Oh, really?
Both of these stories were in northern
Wisconsin. In Wisco.
Yeah.
As Wisconsin residents call it.
Wisco?
Wisco, yeah.
So.
Looks like other quirky news. An angler catches a record-breaking mutant trout weighing almost a whopping 35 pounds.
Ooh.
Michael Mitchell has been hoping to catch a 10-pound brown trout using just a maggot as bait when he hooked into the monster from the deep, which weighed a mighty 34 pounds and 12 ounces.
Wow.
There's a picture of him, and the fish is like almost as tall as he is. It's horrifying.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there's a video of a glass ceiling falling, and this boy just like jumps out of the way and
Ooh!
Barely avoids it.
That probably would have injured him heavily.
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 No pun intended.
So, the headline on HuffPo is "Student's amazing reflexes help him dodge glass ceiling."
Mm.
So, wow, that is. I wonder what caused the whole ceiling to just.
Probably gravity.
Probably gravity. You know, it's inevitable.
There's this weird thing that called gravity on this earth.
I think my friend Newton wrote a paper on it. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, he's kind of an odd dude.
He was really
something
weird.
About apples and falling.
Right? Yeah, he brought in apples and then some weird thing. About
yeah, I don't know. I
gravity. It was so
I weird. Also believe in a flat earth and that there was three shooters
so
for JFK.
B.O.B. must
so.
Be your homie.
B.O.B. Have you? I assume,
that,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was funny.
I think, was it Colbert that just roasted him heavily
for
that?
I wanted to say, it sounds like something Colbert would do.
B.O.B. is a rapper, and he's also a flat earther. Flat earther being yep. someone who believes that the earth is actually flat. That all of the photographs taken of earth, how they're not three-dimensional.
Right.
They believe then, because of that the earth is two-dimensional,
mm-hmm.
Which would not explain sunrises, really.
Not explain a lot of things.
Yeah. or seasons, or wind.
I took AP physics. I take pretty... I hate those. I watched a Flat Earther video the other day, and it's so aggravating. It's like, come on, guys.
There's this video on YouTube as well you can find where they had a man dress up like Stanley Kubrick, like a Stanley Kubrick lookalike, and had him... basically confess that he faked the moon landings. But like during the video you can hear the guy behind the camera like feeding him his lines when he forgets them. So really it was probably supposed to be like a rehearsal video for the actual video, but that one got released, so like no one was buying it. But
so
that one's really good.
Yeah, speaking of, where do you guys bank?
Where do I bank? I actually have a credit union, mm-hmm. which is great for being in the state of Utah, but is absolutely terrible when you go outside of it because it only has approved ATMs, and you get charged a lot of money to use other ones. I found that out while I was living in Miami.
Oh, that sucks. Do you have a bank account?
I do. I
can
use,
you give me that number and your social? No, I'm just kidding.
You're not going to get much. Like... maybe
what?
$3? I don't know.
What?
So, Ally Bank has a new viral marketing campaign.
Ally Bank.
Yes. So, it's an online-only bank.
Oh, okay.
So, do you ever pick up pennies on the ground? If not, you may want to start. 100 lucky pennies have been placed on the streets of 10 U.S. cities, with each penny worth $1,000.
Wow.
So,
which 10 U.S. cities?
Good question. Here we go.
We're out of luck.
Austin, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami, New York City, San Diego, and Washington, D.C. So,
I'll have to tell my dad. You know what? I bet they dropped a penny in Little Haiti, because Little Haiti is one of the poorest areas in Miami. It's like Chinatown or Little Italy. In Miami, there's a Little Haiti, which is like kind of... on like 50th and 40th Northeast Street. Anyways, but basically in that part of town, they say you're not supposed to be out there past 10 o'clock. So I really hope they put one of these there because, that's great. That's good.
Yeah.
It's
so
good stuff.
It the coin reads, it looks plastic, definitely plastic, right?
Looks like it.
And it says, lucky you, 100,000 cents. And then redeem at Ally like Lucky Ally Penny Bank. Or luckypenny.com. So
the question is will anyone buy this? Like, what if they pick it up and they're like, oh, this is a fake, and then they throw it down a drain? I guess, if anything, that helps Ally Bank. You know, they don't have to. Has any of them been redeemed?
Not that I know of.
No?
I mean, okay. This is very recently.
Gotcha.
So, and it's Huffington Post, so I don't even know if I believe that, even if they said that someone had redeemed it, I don't know if I'd believe them.
I think the greatest joy in my life is finding money on the ground. I found most of the money that I've had in my possession over the past few months has been money I found on the ground.
Yeah, me too.
Did you have something you wanted to say, Joe?
Well, no, I would agree with Peter if I saw a penny that said, hey, you just got 100,000. I'd be like, okay, whatever.
Oh, there's great, cool.
There's so many scammers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. And it's like,
but it says,
perfect,
it has
thanks,
the,
guys.
On the
and
back
I'm just hucking into the street. Like, no way.
It does have the Ally Bank, like, logo on it. So
there was
maybe it's not so. Yeah.
Maybe.
But I never knew what Ally Bank was until you brought it up. Same. So I would have been like, oh, some guy in his garage probably.
Yeah, right.
Gone.
Have you guys ever watched Better Call Saul?
No.
No?
No.
So this isn't going to spoil anything, I promise.
Okay.
And you listeners out there, no spoilers. Hashtag no spoilers. But it's a follow-up to the hit series Breaking Bad, which was incredible. Filmed by the same guy, Vince Gill. But anyways, Saul, Better Call Saul, the lawyer from Breaking Bad, it's a continuation of the story, but it's also a prequel. Because it's like his story leading up to the events when he met Walter White and all those, you know, unruly characters that we love seeing on screen. You know, like Aaron Paul with his famous saying, which we can't say on the air.
Yeah.
But basically there's this part in the series where he's a budding lawyer, but he's broke. And he's looking for any opportunity he can find to make money, to survive. And so he gets this client, okay, and he goes out to this house, and it's massive. It's this massive house. There's, like, taxidermied animals everywhere, like lions and, like, you know, deer and, like, all these kills. And the guy who basically lives there is this, you know, this old Texan dude. He's huge, and he has lots of money. And he basically says, like, oh, my fee, like, I can give you, like, tons of money, but basically he's like, I want to secede from the union, so I want you to legally, because they're in New Mexico, and he's like, I want to legally have you, like, make my land just like my own country, and I'll pay you, like, $1 million to start, $500,000 up front. And so he can't believe his luck, Saul, and he's like, all right, yeah, I'll take the case. And he's like, okay, let me get my money. And so he starts piling these bills, okay? Mm-hmm. This story is going to be relevant in just a second. So he starts piling these bills, and Saul can't believe his luck, and he starts looking through the bills, and he looks on the front of it, and it's like the Republic of blank, and it's the guy's face on it. So it's $500,000 of, like, the first pressing of the money that will be used in the Republic when they secede from the Union. So then Saul's like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to take a pass.
Yeah, I think I'm okay.
$500,000 of useless money that has no market worth. It was great. Uh-huh. It's a hilarious scene, but...
So I think that is going to be the final story of today. So thank you all so much for tuning in to the Aggie Morning Word. We will be back tomorrow, same time, 8:30 to 9:20, and basically every weekday from now until we all graduate.
On KBLU 92.3, what a lovely radio station. Yeah. We're very lucky to have it.
Yes, we are.
And this is the Aggie Morning Word podcast.
In Logan, Utah.
So, I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Peter LaBarge.
And I'm Joe Steven.
And we'll see you next time.
Aggie Radio on 92.3 KBLU LP.